All right, okay, this is the fun stuff over here. So the Gemara was discussing what is the proper nusach of the bracha for bedikas chametz, and we had a discussion, was it levar chametz, albior chametz, levar chametz certainly implies something that's about to happen, albior chametz might imply something that's happened already. And the Gemara said, we paskin that the bracha is albior chametz. We assume that that implies something that's going to happen in the future, as well as something that perhaps happened also, in the past already. As opposed to, the other opinion of the Gemara that held that Al always implies something that happened, primarily implies something that happened already, not something that's about to happen. And that's why one of the opinions of the Gemara was opposed to the Nusach of the Bracha, Al B'yor Chametz, but we paskin, like our papa, that we make Al B'yor Chametz. However, we noted that the Gemara notes that the Bracha of Mila seems to be an exception to the, the Bracha of Mila, which is Al HaMila, performed by the Mayo, seems to contradict that one opinion that the Gemara cited, that the Nusach of Al always implies something, or primarily implies something that happened already, not something that's about to happen, and that's why there was one opinion, the Gemara Puppy, that we should make Levoyer Chametz. Nonetheless, everyone agrees that by Mila, we have to make the Bracha of Al HaMila. Why? So the Gemara explained, because if we'll make the Bracha Le, with the prefix Lamed, that will imply that it's his Bracha, that it's something that's unique to him, and not something that he's performing on behalf of someone else. A bracha that you use the prefix le implies it's something you have to do as opposed to something I'm doing on behalf of someone else. And the Gemara says that would always be problematic because this guy doesn't have to do the migo. He could have handed off the migo to somebody else. He's doing the migo on behalf of somebody else's kid. It's not his own child. And so therefore the Gemara says he can't say the bracha of le. It's disqualified for a side reason. So therefore, only in that scenario, even Rav Papi would agree, even though Rav Papi felt right, you should make the bracha of Livar Chametz, not Al Biur Chametz. Al has problems that it implies something that happened already, not something that's about to happen. With regards to Mila, he concedes that you make the bracha of Al Hamila. It must also imply something that's about to happen, even though primarily implies something that happened already. But here, Rav Papi would agree that you make the bracha of Al Hamila because the Limo Sabin is just too complicated, because it's not really your mitzvah. The Gemara then asks, well, what about the father of the male, the father of the son? If he does the milah himself, can he make the bracha of limo, as habein? And the Gemara seemed to say, yeah, ein hachinami, he can. And this already implies, as we discussed yesterday, that perhaps the mitzvah, bris milah, is not something just that the father does on behalf of the child, like everybody else in the community also has an obligation to do on behalf of the child if he doesn't have a bris milah done, right away. We all have an obligation to step in. Himo lochem kozachar. And just the father's the head of the line, of everybody else. It implies that the father really has some kind of personal investment here in performing the bris milah on behalf of his child. And we saw yesterday in the Rambam that this was reflected by the fact that the Rambam actually feels when the father performs bris milah on his own child, he makes a different nusach bracha. He makes the bracha of limo es habein. As our Gemara is, implied over here in the context of our puppy, that when the father performs bris milah for his son, he's not just doing the mitzvah on behalf of the son, he's doing his own mitzvah. Because it's somewhat a mitzvah of the father to perform bris milah on his son, so much so, the Minchas Chinuch even suggested that when the child matures and becomes an adult who has to do bris milah for himself, if it wasn't done for him while he was a child, the father still has precedence. The father still has dibs. He still has rights to be the mayo if he wants to, because it's really fundamentally his mitzvah. Even though the Rambam doesn't, count it as two separate mitzvahs, one for the father, one for the son, the Rambam does phrase the mitzvah bris milah in the context of the father, that this is the father's obligation and his zechus. And not even the mitzvah of the child, himself, and even when he becomes an adult, it really resides with the father. And we saw that within the Rambam with regards to the nusach of the bracha, which fluctuates depending on who is doing the bris milah. If the father does it, it's lima osabein. If not, then it's al hamila. And this is actually reflected as well with the Rambam Shita with regards to the bracha of lahachnisa barisa shel Avraham Avinu. Look back at Tosfos and Zayin Amud Aleph. Tosfos quotes from the Gemara Masechta the Shabbos and Kuflam and Zayin Amud Beis. It says, whoever performs the bris milah makes the bracha of al hamila, the avi habein makes the bracha of achnisa bebrisa shel Avraham Avinu. So the Taisus initially quotes from the Rashba that from the fact that the nusach of the bracha is le achnisa bebrisa shel Avraham Avinu, it implies something that has not happened yet. So it should be made over lasiyasin before the bris milah actually takes place. The father should make the bracha of achnisa bebrisa shel Avraham Avinu. After the mayo makes al hamila, the mayo makes al hamila, the father makes achnisa bebrisa shel Avraham Avinu. And then you perform the bris. Then Tosfos quotes from the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam that no, lachnisa bebrisa shel Avraham Avinu is not performed before the bris milah, is performed after. And even though it's with a language of lamed, a prefix of lamed, it's not so much a birchus hamitzvah in the classical sense. It has to be performed over la'asiyasan. He says, "Apagav do'achnisoi mashma la'habo lo'i kasha." The bracha is really on the institution of bris milah, kind of a shevach v'hidah to a kadosh baruch hu, not so much a birchas hamitzvah at all. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam feels that the bracha is made after the bris milah is performed, even though you use the prefix of lamed of lehachnisa b'risa shel Avraham Avinu. We saw the Rush, this is what we ended off with yesterday. The Rush says, in order to fulfill both shitas, and this is how we pass in Shulchan Aruch, it's always problematic, you know, whenever we make these kind of compromises. It's always problematic. Like, there's a machlekes, which direction should the mezuzah be? Should the mezuzah be horizontal? Should the mezuzah be vertical? Sfardim, have the mezuzah vertical. Benji, in your house, are the mezuzahs vertical? I should hope so.
Whichever way is this way.
Yeah, vertical. The Ashkenazim, we pass like the Ramah, Ashkenazim put it on a horizontal, on an angle. Because it's a machlek, it should be horizontal, should it be vertical. So as a compromise, we put it on an angle. It seems to fulfill neither Shita. Right? That was neither Shita. Neither Shita had it on an angle. Many say there's so many simonim about how to have shalom bias. Everyone has to be on an angle. Everyone has to bend over. Everyone has to compromise. Both Shitas here have to compromise. Neither vertical, nor horizontal. Everyone's got to compromise when you walk into a house if you want to have shalom bias. Ah, fantastic. Shever brachas Torah. But lemaisa is, it doesn't seem like you're fulfilling either Shita. So too over here, the Shita was, the machlekes was, should the bracha be made before the bris milah, should the bracha be made after the bris milah, the birchas hamitzvah, the birchas shever vayidah, the Rosh says make it in the middle. In the middle, in between the milah and the priya. In between removing the Or HaArla and pulling back the Or HaPriya. So it makes a big problem for us today. What do? We do the Milah and the Priya B'Basachas. We pull them both, the Mayor pulls both of them, he probes underneath, pulls both of them, and we cut off both at the same time. It's really a change from the Minig. But either way, when do you make the Bracha now? There is no more middle. So probably what the Rush meant to say, and this is what it probably means, is that even though it's not really a fulfillment of the one who holds you should make it beforehand, Lamaisa is you're still in the middle of a mitzvah. And as we'll see in a few minutes, when a person is in the middle of a mitzvah, that's still called over l'asiyasan. He can still make the bracha because it's over before, it's before the second part of the mitzvah, even though it's after the first part. So since it's before the second part, it is over l'asiyasan a little bit. And you do fulfill a little bit the fact that it's a birchas shel vayidah because it's after the first part of the mitzvah. So the Rush kind of felt like this was the best of both worlds. Today, nowadays, we recommend the father Rush to say the bracha of nisa b'vitz sham ravino as quickly as possible after the mo'el in order to somehow fulfill this opinion of the Rush. Even though we do mila umpriya together b'basachas, we cut off both the membrane and the ha'ala all together. However, it is still strange, Rabbi Yisai, to make two brachas on the same mitzvah. Right, where do we find a mitzvah that has two brachas? There is one other mitzvah that has two brachas. There's really two other mitzvahs that have two brachas, even though it is odd. They all seem to be exceptions to the rule. One of them is about to come up, right? And Birchas Halakas Neiros Chanukah, we have two brachas. We have Sha'as Anisim and Lahadik Neiros Chanukah. Maybe we'll discuss at Chanukah time why that is. But you have two brachas on one mitzvah. Tefillin, sometimes, right? You could have two brachas on one mitzvah. Now that's because the Tefillin Shayat and Tefillin Shoresh are two separate items. But if you speak in between them, then you might actually have to make two brachas, right, on one of them. So tefillin also a little bit. You have two brachas on one mitzvah. But over here also, we have two brachas on one mitzvah. And each time we have to ask, why do we have two brachas on one mitzvah? And this leads Rav Soloveitchik to suggest, or Shechter quotes in his Eretz HaTzvi, in his Kuntres on Birchas HaMitzvahs, he leads Rav Soloveitchik to suggest that perhaps the bracha of Achnisa, but he ties this into tefillin too, but perhaps the bracha l'achnisa b'risa shel Avraham Avinu is not a classical birchas hamitzvah, and that's why perhaps the Rabbeinu Tam held that it has to be made after the mitzvah. Even though typically a birchas hamitzvah is made over l'asiyasan, before you perform the mitzvah, here l'achnisa b'risa shel Avraham Avinu might be a different kind of a mitzvah, a different kind of a birchas hamitzvah. It is a birchas hamitzvah, but a different kind. Not a bracha, on performing the mitzvah necessarily, but on the status that is created as a result of the mitzvah. Or if Salvation called a bracha on the chalois of being gemalt, of being a person who has a bris milah. Because if you think about what is really the obligation of the father in performing bris milah, maybe the obligation of the father in performing bris milah is not so much to perform the milah himself, but really to see to it that the child has a bris milah. And therefore, once the father has kind of like dispensed with his obligation, that he has seen to it that his father has, that the child has had a bris milah, So then he kind of makes a bracha on the fact that he achieved that status. See, for Smigla, it's not so much, you know, the mitzvah is not only in terms of performing the bris milah, it's also on the status that one achieves as a result. For example, the Gemara says in Masechtas Menachos, David HaMelech was once sitting in the mikvah, and he realized he was arum min ha-mitzvahs, and he became despondent, he became depressed. Oh, he has no more mitzvah surrounding him while he's sitting in the bathtub. And then he remembered, but he has the mitzvah of bris milah, and he was nisyash v'daitai. So everyone asks, what about mezuzah? Didn't he have a mezuzah on his door? Well, it was a bathroom, so maybe there was no mezuzah on his door. But didn't he have a mezuzah on his front door? Okay, good question. Good question. And what about, why is this the first time that he has, was Aram in a mitzvah? What about when he goes to sleep? So the Ari HaKadosh says, must be he wears tzitzis when he goes to sleep. And from here the Ari HaKadosh derives an inyan to go to sleep wearing a talis katan. The Ari HaKadosh proves it from this Gemara Masechtas Menachos. Why does David only become upset when he's in the mikvah? Why didn't he become upset every time he went to sleep? Must be he was wearing a talis katan when he went to sleep. Be that as it may. However, David HaMelech was consoled. The Gemara Menachos, I think, Adap Mem Gimel. David HaMelech was consoled by the fact that he had a bris milah. One minute. When was this bris milah? How old was David at this time? What, he was 8 years old? No, David was an adult man at this point. He was a grown man. He was nisyash v'daita by the bris milah because he had memories from when he was 8 days old. And the bris milah is long gone, buddy. No, so must be, says the Marach or Zeruah, that's the son of the Zeruah, that you see from here, the mitzvah of bris milah is not over after the bris milah. The mitzvah of bris milah also carries with it a certain status of being gemalt, of being, you know, nemo, of being circumcised, is really perhaps the only, or maybe at least part of the focus of bris milah, not so much focused on the act, but really on the status that's created as a result. So if Salvatrix suggested maybe that's really the father's primary obligation here, is not so much to perform the bris milah necessarily, maybe that's part of it, but it's also, or maybe primarily, to see to it that the child has a bris milah. And that's where the bracha of Lachnisa Barisa Shavu Mavino might actually be a bris milah, a bracha on the mitzvah milah, but not in the classical sense, but in the sense that it's a bracha on the chalois, on the status that has been achieved afterwards, of the fact that he is now Nemo. Maybe that's why this bracha is a birchas mitzvah, but it is a birchas mitzvah that's made after the bris milah has already been achieved, has been produced. The Rambam actually has a unique shita here as well, which seems to highlight that this is, even though the Rambam believes the mitzvah, the bracha, lachnisa barisa shavu mavino, was made before, the Rambam feels that it's a unique bracha that's only made by the father. It's only made by the father. The Rambam says if the father's not there, there's no bracha of lachnisa barisa shavu mavino. This is not a bracha that's made, you know, by anybody who's performing the bris milah. It's only if the father's there. The Rav disagrees, and he says, why should this only be made by the father? Let someone else from the Beis Din say it. If the father's not there, and he said, the Rav says the minig was the sandak who used to make it. However, the Rambam feels, again, this is a unique obligation or reflection of the relationship the father has to bris milah. So if the Rambam feels achnisa barisa shavu mavino is unique to the father, if the father's not there, there is no bracha because the whole mitzvah has been compromised somewhat. So Rambam actually feels that Achnisa Barisa Shavu Mavino was made beforehand. It is one of the Birchas HaMitzvah that's unique to the father, highlighting his unique role in Bris Milah. We try and do both, but there were Rishonim who felt that it should be made after, and perhaps that's not because it's a Birchas Shavu Vahidah necessarily. Perhaps it's a bracha on the Chalois, and this represents the fact that there's a duality with regards to Bris Milah. There's one bracha on the Maisa HaMilah, that's Al HaMilah. There's another bracha on the chalois, on the status that's accomplished by doing the bris milah, the fact that he's now circumcised, and that's the bracha of Achnisa Barisa Shavu Mavino. There might actually be another situation where we have this construct, and this will be within the opinion of the Rambam. But by saying, in order to understand this, we have to move on to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, or Salvatrix's comment was really about something later on in the Gemara, not necessarily with regards to Lachnisa Barisa Shavu Mavino. He makes it in that context, but he derives it from a different place. Later on in the sugya, the Gemara quotes or asks on this rule of Rapapi. Rapapi felt al implies something that happened already, not something that's about to happen, and therefore we should typically make birchas mitzvah that are over lasiyas, and we should make it with a lamed. So the Gemara asks, Meisvei, where are we? From Ha'oisa Lulav. The Gemara asks, from Ha'oisa Lulav, La'atzma mevar shechiyonu. We're going to have to come back and discuss that. We have to circle back and discuss the shechiyonu on making a lulav. But either way, the Braisa says you make a shechiyonu when you make a lulav. And when you take the lulav, not la latzeis by I'm a shek kisham zvayz v'tivano al netilas lulav. You make the bracha of al netilas lulav. Why do you make the bracha of al netilas lulav? According to Rav Papi, that's a problem. Doesn't al imply something that happened already, not something that's about to happen? So Gemara says you cannot make shiny hasim to be idna da agba nafik bay. The minute you pick up the lulav, you're already yoytze. So it happened already. So that's why you have to make al. It's reflective back on what happened already, not list something that's about to happen. Yochi latzeis by yotzmi boyle. What is this? The latzeis, you're about to fulfill lulav. You already fulfilled it. What do you mean? It's not something that you're going to do. It's something that happened already. So Gemara says, "Ein achinami." You're right. It should have said that. Should have said latzeis. It should have said yotzaboy. When you pick up the lulav and you are ready, yoytze, it should have said you make the bracha of al natigos lulav. We wanted to have consistency in the language, and we're going to say in the sefer leishay basuka tanim reishanami latzeis bodekatani sefer. We use the same language as the sefer because it says in the sefer it's a sukkah liatzma. You make shechiyonim kimanu. When you come to sit in the sukkah, you make a leishay basuka. So since we wanted the language to be consistent within the statement leishay basuka, so we also use the word latzeis. With regards to taking lulav, even though it's really yatzah, you did it already. Okay, so Gemara asks, how come lulav, the bracha on lulav, is different? Shouldn't that also be, according to a puppy, lito as a lulav? He says, nah, because you only fulfill the mitzvah of lulav once you already picked it up. 1 minute. If you already picked it up, how can you make a bracha? The mitzvah is over. So that's Taisa's question. You can't make the bracha anymore. So Taisa's different masl be'idna is, v'm timer, came in the nafik, ha'ech yivarech. You already made the bracha, you have a mitzvah. You already fulfilled, it's over. The minute you pick up the lulav, you're done. If you're done, how can you still make the bracha? We have to come back to this too. Even though you're ready, you're still Isaac in the mitzvah, you could still make the bracha while you're Isaac in the mitzvah. Like a person who puts on his tzitzis, he can still make the bracha while he's wearing the tzitzis, even though it's after he put it on already. You're in the middle of fulfilling the mitzvah, you can still make the bracha. And over here, you're in the middle of fulfilling the mitzvah. Because you have to shake the lulav during Hallel. And that's somehow connected to the primary mitzvah of Netilas Lulav. And therefore, you're still involved with the lulav. So you can still make the bracha. Taisus later on says, you don't really need to do this. He says, Taisus and Divrei Maaskil Lotzeis, raises the dilemma. 1 minute, if it's true, the minute you pick up the lulav, you're ready, yotzei, how do you make the bracha then? So he says, well, you're still being Isaac in the mitzvah. Here he brings up two other possibilities. One is that you could hold the Esrog upside down, right? That's what we do. Because if you hold the Esrog, shaloi kaderek kadeilasa, they would not the way that it grows, you're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah. Or he says you could have in mind not to be yotzei, in which case the bracha that you'll make will be over lasiyasin, because you haven't been yotzei in the mitzvah yet. Taisus in Masech the Sukkah raises the issue, well, let's just make the bracha before we, what is the big dilemma here? Make the bracha before you pick up the lulav. That solved the problem. Why? The Gemara says we have to make the bracha al netilas lulav. We can't make the bracha litolas a lulav because you already picked up the lulav, so it happened already. So you have to use a language that's reflective on the past. So you say al netilas lulav, which implies something that happened already. Why? You make the bracha litolas a lulav and do it before you actually pick up the lulav. So Taisus says you cannot do that. Why not? Or it's not ideal to do that because it's too far removed. When you make a bracha over lasiyasin, it has to be over, has to be directly before the mitzvah, not over the over, not way before, two steps removed. For example, a person's putting on his talus. So he's not supposed to put on his talus, make the bracha on the talus while it's in the bag, then unfold the talus, then put it on and be misatef, because it's too far removed. What should you do? You should unfold the talus, put it over your head, get ready, ready to go, then make the bracha, then you're misatif. It should be right before. A person's putting on his tefillin. You don't make the bracha while the tefillin's in the bag. And then I take it out of the bag, and then I strap it onto my arm. You're supposed to strap it onto your arm, about to tighten the knot, that's when you make the bracha. Shorosh as well. Many people don't know this. You put on the shorosh, before you put it into place, then you make the bracha. Over lasiyasan. However, it always has to be over, not over the over, not something that's, two steps removed. So over here, if I'm not holding the lulav yet, so then it's twice removed. So it's too far removed. So Taisa says, then I'm going to start unwrapping my tinfoil, and the guy comes over there with a refrigerator, he brings his lulav and his davamidim and his paper towels and this and that. By the time he unwraps the whole thing, it's going to be over the over. So you have to already take it out. Taisa says, well, why doesn't he just pick up the lulav and leave the esrig? And then pick up the Esrog after. This is Eino Chinami, you could have done that. That's a solution too. Or, but Taisus has other solutions. We don't need that. He says you could turn the Esrog upside down. Or a person could have in mind not to be Yotzei. Or one could even make the bracha, even if he held it, he picked it up correctly. he was already yard, so you can still make the bracha because you still need to do the nanuim in order to fulfill the mitzvah properly. So therefore, you're still Isaac b'mitzvah, so you can still make the bracha at that point. So Tosis and Sukkah raises this dilemma. He brings up the issue. Maybe you can make the bracha, before you ever picked it up, but he thinks it's a little bit too far removed. The Rambam actually brings up both possibilities. The Rambam Perikid Alf Vilchus Brachs Achdezvav says, Natos halulav, if you already took the lulav, and then you want to make the bracha, you make the bracha on the tilas lulav. Avalim pirech koidim shiito mevarech li talulav. The Rambam says, like it says in our Gemara, Poshet. The Rambam says, if you didn't pick up the lulav yet, you make the bracha only for the future, not for the past. The only reason we make the bracha on the tilas lulav, I already picked up the lulav, it happened already, so I need a bracha that reflects a little bit on the past. That's al. Le always implies something that's going to happen in the future. So Rambam says, if you didn't pick it up yet, then you make the bracha lito as halulo. The Ravid disagrees, and the Ravid says, no, you always make the bracha of al. You never make the bracha of le. But the Rambam distinguishes between these two, that if you did it already, you make the bracha of al. If you didn't pick it up yet, you make the bracha of le. That's what creates a problem for the Rambam elsewhere. Because Rabbi say, when do you make the bracha on the sukkah? When do you make the bracha on the sukkah? Before you enter into the sukkah or after you're standing in the sukkah? After you're standing in the sukkah. That's why the Rambam says, Perek Vav of Hilchos Sukkah, Halach Yud Beis. The Rambam says, Kol Zman Sheikonis Lezim B'Sukkah Kol Shivim Mavar Kodim Sheyeshev. You make it before you sit down. Asher Keshem Zayis V'Tzivan Uleyeshev B'Sukkah. The first night of Yom Tif, the Rambam says, so what are you going to do? You're going to make Kiddush standing up. And then, before you make the bracha of Leishev at the end of Kiddush, then I'll sit down afterwards. But Kiddush, on the first night of Sukkot, I should make standing up. By the way, parenthetically, you see, according to the Rambam, he never made Kiddush standing up. He only made Kiddush sitting down. Just the first night of Sukkot, he didn't want to sit down already. What's going to happen if he sits down already? He already did the mitzvah. He won't be able to say Leishev Sukkot. He's going to have to say Al Yeshiva Sukkot. He doesn't want to say that. So Rambam says that's why before before you sit down you want to make your bracha. So I first stand for Kiddush. When I get up to the Leishev Basukah, I'll make the bracha standing. Then I'll sit down and make a shachiyonu, and then I'll drink from the Kiddush. But the Rambam says you should first make the bracha while you're standing, and then make the bracha before you sit down. Over lasiyosan, and it's about something that hasn't happened yet that's going to happen in the future. The Ravid disagrees, and the Ravid says, no, there's no distinction over here. He says, Vatam, he says, Minig mekoymenu go hayamay olam kaze, he said, we never heard of this. Vatam ki yeshiva einal das achilu, because man shenal eichel, abrocha oivel mitzvah hu bemes. The Ravid says, you haven't eaten yet. The mitzvah isn't really fulfilled until you eat, so you'll sit down, no problem. You'll still make leishe basukah, even though I'm sitting already. But before you eat, that's when you really fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah, of living in the sukkah, then. You know, I'll really be in fulfillment of the mitzvah. But it's over lasiyosan even if I'm sitting already. The Rambam didn't say that. The Rambam said, you know, it's not over lasiyosan until you sit down. Now, we understand why the Rambam is coming from, right? Because a person doesn't have to eat to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. Even living in the sukkah is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of sukkah. So it's not so much, you know, the minute I sit down, the Rambam feels you're ready in fulfillment of the mitzvah of sukkah. But so the Rambam says you can't sit down yet. You have to make the bracha before you sit down. But the Magid Mishnah is a bam kash on the Rambam. He says, I don't understand, but the minute you walk into the sukkah, even if you're standing, you fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. Rabbi says, you don't have to sit, even though the language of the bracha is basukas, the language of the pasuk is basukas teishu shivas yamin, you don't actually have to sit down in the sukkah to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. Even if you're standing, you fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. So therefore, the Magid Mishnah, you know, kind of asks on the Rambam, why do I have to necessarily sit down in order to fulfill the mitzvah? The minute I'm standing, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah. And if the minute you're standing, you're fulfilling the mitzvah, well, then, how can you make the bracha of Leishev Basukah? The Mitzvah of the bracha should really be Al Yeshiva Sukkah. It's no different than a person already picked up the lulav, and now he wants to make the bracha. He can still make the bracha because he's still being Isaac in the mitzvah, but he doesn't make a bracha anymore that only focuses on the future. Makes a bracha that reflects on the past too. Al Yeshiva's Al Matilas Lulav, because he already picked it up. So too, the minute a person walks into the sukkah, he's a little bit in fulfillment of the mitzvah of sukkah, of living in the sukkah. We don't make a bracha unless you're going to eat. And, you know, but if you were eating standing up, you would also make a bracha, you know, in the sukkah. So the Magid Mishnah asked, the minute you walk in, you're really in fulfillment already of the mitzvah of sukkah. You should have made the bracha of Al Yeshiva sukkah, not Leishev sukkah. Apparently, the Rambam was of the opinion. Salvechik has this also in the Kuntras of Birchas. Mamish took everything that there is to say over here. Rav Salvechik also says this in the Kuntras Birchas on his Birchas Mitzvah, that it sounds like, according to the Rambam, the even though you are in fulfillment of the mitzvah of sukkah when you walk into the sukkah, that's not like an act of a mitzvah. You can't call that an act of yeshiva besukkah when I walk in. Walking in doesn't smell like or look like, a ma'aseh ha-mitzvah. And the bracha, of course, is attached to the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah. You do fulfill a mitzvah simply by walking into the sukkah, even though we don't make a bracha on it. But you're not really doing a ma'aseh ha-mitzvah. The minute I sit down to eat, the Rambam feels that's a ma'aseh ha-mitzvah, and now, I'm going to make a bracha. So, and the bracha that I make is over la'asiyasin before I do the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah. It is true. You do fulfill the mitzvah simply by fact that you're standing there, but the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah that's associated with it is not really so much walking into the sukkah. That doesn't seem like a ma'aseh ha-mitzvah. The ma'aseh ha-mitzvah really is sitting down in the sukkah, and therefore I make the bracha before I sit down. The Ravid went one step further. The Ravid said, who said sitting is a ma'aseh ha-mitzvah? It's eating in the sukkah that's the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah. So as long as I make the bracha prior to eating, I can also use the nusach of leishev basukkah, which implies something's about to happen, because the real yeshiva is not just sitting. The real yeshiva is in eating in the sukkah. But be that as it may, the Rambam feels, right, if a person makes a bracha over la'asiyasan, then he always before he did the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah, he makes the nusach of le. If it happened already, then he makes the bracha, the nusach of the bracha of al, like al metilas lulav, because you already, you already picked up the lulav. Now that's only, though, because, a person is still being oisek in the mitzvah, right? Tosfos asked, if a person is done with the mitzvah, can he even make a bracha anymore at all? Tosfos implied that you couldn't make a bracha at all. Can't make a bracha at all after it's over. And that is, in fact, the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam, Perek Yud Aleph, Hilchos Brachos, Halacha Vav, says if a person performed a mitzvah already, it's already done, you can no longer make the bracha anymore. If you're not being Isaac in the mitzvah, if I'm wearing tzitzis, yes, I can kiss my tzitzis. So I didn't make the bracha. The minute I put up the mezuzah, I can make the bracha later. I didn't make the bracha, on the tilas lulav. As long as I'm still holding on to the lulav, I can still make the bracha because the mitzvah is ongoing. If it's a mitzvah that's open and shut and now it's over, like shchita, you can no longer make the bracha after it's over. It's done. The Rambam is the shita is, and that's how Tosfos implies. Tosfos says, how can you make a bracha if it's already over? Tosfos says, you still have the nanuim to go. But the opinion of the Rambam is the minute the bracha is over, right? If it's ongoing, you can make al netilas lulav. Better yet, you should make it before you ever picked it up. Li tolas a lulav. But at least if it's ongoing, it's al netilas lulav. However, if it's over already, nothing. No bracha. And that's the Rambam says in Perek Yud Aleph, Hilchos Brachos, Halacha Vav. Why? Why should that be the case? Why should that be the case? The minute that the bracha is over, you can't make a bracha anymore. So that has to do with the Rambam's position in terms of why we make the bracha prior to performing a mitzvah in the first place. Right, so we'll have to pick up with this. But the Ritva has two explanations why it is we make a bracha before you perform the mitzvah. A little bit more machshava oriented. And the Rambam, as we'll see, has a lot more of a technical reason, but really something that goes to the heart of what performing the mitzvahs is all about and making brachas is all about. So we'll have to get to that. And that's why the Rambam holds you can't make a bracha after the mitzvah is already over. It just doesn't make sense at that point. Okay, Rabbi Zev, we've got to do. But either way, see this Ritva, see the Rambam. This is famous Torah, Rabbi Zev. Okay, we'll have to pick up with it.